Blog Talk Radio.
Quand si mon son bordage yel, ou pas pour ces cançons pour belle toile, mon du son macho yon bordage sans, avec femme ou pas notre sentiment.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Haitian Freethinker Show. My name is Reggie, and I'm joined today by my co-host, as always, Jane. And this is a live broadcast via Block Talk Radio. And we are part of the Haitian Freethinkers, which is a group for secular Haitians. If you wish to join us, just go online, and you should be able to find us by Googling Haitian Freethinkers. Our group is primarily on Facebook, but we also have a presence on Twitter, Instagram, and all the other major social networks. We have a wonderful show for you today. Our show comes on live on Sunday mornings, on most Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And let's get right to it. So, James, how you doing this morning?
Man, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. So, today is 31 May, the last day of May of 2015. The year is moving right along. It is summertime pretty much around these parts and most of the nation, I would imagine. So we are going to have probably a special guest call. I think he was on the line, but he dropped out. But he's probably going to call back soon. Oh, there he is. 1 second. Let me put him on. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello, Ken.
Hey, Reggie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Yes,
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem. So, Ken is from American Atheist. He said that he was going to call in, and there he is. I want to let you know, Ken, that we may have like a slight half second to a full second delay, but I wanted you to call in and let everybody know who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, I'm Ken McKinnon. I'm the Director of State and Regional Operations for American Atheists. I'm also the founding member of the South Florida group, Florida Atheists and Secular Humanists. Basically, I oversee state directors for American Atheists and help them perform activism when needed.
Okay, excellent. So the connection between Ken and I is this. Ken is a founding member of Florida Atheist Secular Humanist, which is short for, FLASH is the acronym. And they are the group that I found and joined, and through FLASH I became basically an atheist. So that's a big deal. And FLASH held a regional meetup about 3-4 years ago. And because of that meetup, I was able to meet some wonderful people, and the idea for Haitian Freethinkers was born from that meetup. So that's a very special thing. So, Ken, what things have you done recently, or what things are coming up for American Atheists and FLASH in general?
Well, I mean, not too recently. We could be the first atheist monument on public property in Stark, Florida. That was a couple years ago. Since then, American Atheist has started Atheist TV on Roku, and you can watch it on the Internet, and I think it was just introduced on Amazon Fire, which is a 24-hour broadcast show with atheist topics, humor, and so forth. We hope that eventually it will go mainstream.
Okay.
We have our first out of... Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry. The delay gets us bumping into each other sometimes. But basically, I was going to say that I own a Roku, and I do have Atheist TV as one of the channels that I follow. It's wonderful. So I just want to let everybody know that it does work, and it's live, and it's awesome.
Right. And if you do it on Roku, you can archive the shows, so you don't have to watch what's playing right now. You can go back and watch anything that's been aired on the channel. I think you can only do that on Roku. Otherwise, you watch what's airing at the time.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I just want to welcome you to the show and thank you for calling in and everything. That's nice. I have a question. Are you guys with the you say you're in South Florida. I'm sure you've heard of Lakeland or Polk County.
I sure have.
Yes. Were you guys involved or knew about the Ellen Beth Walsh, the lady who was she was arrested, like
yes,
she was arrested
and
like three. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Yes, Ellen and I are friends. She is in Polk County. She's a very strong activist.
Yes. Because I remember a few years back, there was, you know, the atheists of Polk County, or they were in Florida, they were going up against the sheriff of the county, Grady Judd, and I forgot exactly what happened, but she was arrested a couple of times, and I think a couple of atheists wanted to try to get together some, I guess, money for a legal team or something for her, or something to help her out, and I couldn't remember exactly. And I was just wondering if you were any part of that, or did you know about that?
Not directly. Ellen Beth is on the west coast of Florida in the Tampa, Sarasota area, up in around Lakeland and between there and Orlando. So it's about 200 or so miles away from me. However, she and I have spoken many times, have met quite a few times. We're good friends. And like I said, she's a very strong activist, and I support her a lot.
She is. When she was going up against Chris, she was like, she took a firm stance against him, even though he's a real hard nose and a real hard guy. She was like basically right there, like, toe-to-toe, like, hey, we're going to go, whatever the problem is. They were like going, they were not backing down to atheists.
That's right. That's what a true activist does, is they don't intimidate easy. If they know they're right, or even if they're not right, but they're sure, or they think they are, they're going to do whatever they can to fix any social ills, if they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah,
exactly.
A good activist is not easily intimidated.
Yeah, I think she was suing the county or the sheriff, and I forgot exactly what it was about, though.
Yeah, she had found out that the sheriff was taking basketball. He said it was used basketball nets from the jail.
That's right, I remember.
Right, and it turns out that the sheriff's office bought brand new basketball nets for his church.
Mm-hmm.
So she
yeah,
found
he took them
out
of the jail and put them in his church. Yeah, I remember that now.
Right. And Ellen Beth was the convention that Reggie mentioned earlier. She was named the Florida Atheist Activist of the Year that year. I think that was the same year that we debaptized you, wasn't it, Reggie?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember debaptizing you in December of 2011.
Yes, there was.
That was around 2011.
Yeah, it was 2011, and then it was a few days after the untimely passing of Christopher Hitchens.
Yep.
Right. Actually, it was that very same day. I think he died on the day of our convention, the day that it started. I think. I'm not 100% sure.
When he died, I had saw around that time, 2010, 11, that's when I was really getting deep and heavy into my non-belief, and I was looking for people, and I was finding videos of him. And then once he died, I seen how a lot of other atheists kind of took it hard, and I didn't know what kind of impact he had until I started reading and started looking at a lot of his videos and stuff.
So. Oh, yeah, he's going to be a very missed mouthpiece for atheism. He was very, very good at debates and lectures.
Yeah, he was.
He's one to miss.
Christopher Hitchens is a unique talent, and obviously it was difficult to have him not be here with us. But like Ken said, that regional atheist meetup was awesome. I was able to meet some very nice folks. I met Mr. Deity during that conference. Who else? The magician.
James Randi.
I'm sorry?
James Randi.
James Randi, yes, I met James Randi. And I met Mandisa Thomas. I met, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name, the rapper that I love so much, Graydon Square.
Oh, right.
So we talked about, unfortunately, I was unable to come to South Florida for the photo shoot. Did the photo shoot happen, and can you tell me a little bit about the photo shoot that you recently had?
I helped the local group Flash here make a couple video commercials for Atheist TV, which hopefully we'll have a final cut soon and submit them. And I'm also helping the Openly Secular campaign with a couple of hopefully billboards in the near future. So we 2 weeks ago we had a photo shoot in a local park. We were able to get most of our video done. However, I still need to schedule a second photo shoot for some couple photos. But hopefully you'll see some Flash members along the highway relatively soon. We also included an Orlando group, the Central Florida Freethinkers. They are going to also be doing a photo shoot to be involved in the same project.
Okay, excellent. So I do appreciate you stopping by to give us a call. Let me know what dates, if any, that you have so that I can pass along the information to the people that I know, and hopefully we can get some more participation with the future project that you have lined up.
All right, I sure will. And sorry I don't know much about the Game of Thrones to actually speak on your topic for the day, but I sure appreciate your time and allowing me to talk about American Atheists.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. And if you ever do get a chance to watch Game of Thrones, I guess our podcast will shed a little bit of light on the connection between religion and the show. But whenever you get a chance, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, I think with all the talk about it, I think I'll end up binge-watching it on Amazon or Netflix.
All right, excellent. So that's our good friend Ken Lukinen from American Atheist. Again, Ken, we'll keep in contact.
All right, you guys take care and have a great show. Thanks.
Thanks for calling again. Calling again, man.
All right, bye.
Bye. All right, so that was Ken, and you said that you were interested in Ron and Rand Paul. Now, I forgot that Ron Paul had a son. Is Rand the son of Ron Paul?
Yeah, Ron is the father, and Rand, I spelled it wrong. It's R-A-N, but it's R-A-N-D. I forgot to put the D on, but it's Rand Paul.
Okay, so for those who don't know about the Pauls, the father and son combo, can you give us a synopsis of who they are and what it is that makes them unique?
Okay, they're Republicans, but they're like a different breed of Republicans. They're like Republicans who have a conscience, who have a heart, and who look at things common-sensely. Instead of just being warmongers, and everything, they look at exactly what started it all. They don't just say the Republicans or the Democrats did anything, and they'll take the blame, like they were saying, like the whole thing with ISIS and all that. The situation with ISIS is worse than it was with the situation when we had Saddam Hussein in power, because at least we could kind of persuade him and sway him and everything. But these ISIS people, they don't want to hear nothing. They don't want to talk about nothing. They just want it their way and their way only. Then he was talking about the policing in the community, and he was talking about how basically need to go back to the building community trust. It's almost like what the Republicans used to be, as far as you hear about them being for, you know, they were for against slavery and all this other stuff like that. And you know how like the party switched over, the Democrats were the ones who were racist and everything like that. And it's like he's going back to, they seem like they're going back to the party, the original, I guess,
platform,
goal of the party.
Okay, so I mean, is Rand Paul the son pretty much a copy of his father, or do they have any differences between them?
He's pretty much just almost like his father from what I've seen, but he just has a maybe a different way. But I haven't really seen them have a difference in opinion. They both seem, you know, like except for I think the father's. They're both libertarian, right?
I think they're both libertarian, but I remember the first time I was told about Ron Paul from a good friend of mine who, you know, he's into politics, and when I heard Ron Paul speak the first time, the father, I couldn't believe that he was a Republican, because he seemed so, like you said, cool and approachable and very common sense-wise, you know. But he still flies under the banner of the Republicans, and I think because of his age and the way that he thinks, he's not going to get elected to anything major. So that's
exactly
that's
what
reality.
I think. That's what it seems like. Because if he runs for president, like he's too old. But a lot of I've seen a lot of college students like him, like the father.
Yeah, a lot of
they
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just basically saying it seems like a lot of college kids really like him, and they like his politics.
Yes, I think he's very appealing because he doesn't I think insult your intelligence. I think he seems like he not just means what he says. It just seems like more authentic than what the other people are saying. I think the other people are just kind of telling the people what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'll like, basically lie in order to save face. But I don't have anything about Ron Paul that I don't like, except the fact that he's under the Republican banner, and I think he has to do that because if you're not a Republican or a Democrat, you basically don't have any shot of being elected as anything major. So
mm-hmm.
you have to choose the donkey or the elephant, and I think that he just chose the elephant because it has enough in common for, you know, what it is that he believes in for him to align with them, and I just think that, you know, that's the best way to get any kind of serious vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the son is concerned, I would have to do some more research to see, you know, what he's all about, to see if there's any difference between the father and the son, and if they're basically the same, it's kind of like, okay, well, you know, the son might be taking away some votes from the father. Basically, they should not be competing in the same election, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I want to remind everybody once again that this is the Haitian Freethinkers radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Haitian Freethinkers is a group that is dedicated to raising the profile of secular Haitians worldwide. You can call in to our guest calling number at 646-652-4442. That's 646-652-4442. If you are unable to catch the show live, you can find us on iTunes or your other, podcast engine, because there's other places where you can get podcasts, and just look up Haitian Freethinkers and you'll catch up to our previous shows. My name is Reggie. My co-host is James, and we broadcast on most Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you still wish to contact us, you can call us at the Haitian Freethinkers Google voice number, which is 678-820-9474. That's 678-820-9474. And you can call and text that number. And if you prefer email, you can email us at HaitianFreethinkers@gmail.com. So we were talking about Ron Paul and Rand Paul. And the show title is about the Game of Thrones, which a new episode is coming up tonight. I think episode number 7 or 8. I'm not sure which one it is.
I think it's supposed to say 9.
But which this is season 5. But is this the 6th? I mean, what episode number are we on? Are we on episode?
I think episode 6.
So this is going to be episode 6. Okay, so I wanted to touch on religion as it relates to Game of Thrones, because did you see the last episode?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so
I like it. I can't miss it. Every episode comes up, I have to watch, and then I have the HBO Go app. So if I miss it, then I just watch it right on there.
Okay, so I think the writer of the book is telling us something about religion. Now, Littlefinger had this little interaction with the cousin of Cersei, the one that became super religious. And basically, I think Littlefinger is an atheist, and he told the cousin that he knows that religion is BS, and he's not having none of it, so don't even try it. So I'm going to give you my take on it. I think the main religion of the capital, the Seven, is basically the Christianity of the world, of the Game of Thrones world, and instead of the Trinity, they have the Seven.
That's almost exactly how I see it.
Okay, and I like the fact that the Christians are behaving like monks and they're fanatical, and we have ISIS in the real world that's going buck wild, and you have what's the name of that army that's going crazy right now?
I forgot the name, but the one person just calls them fanatics, but I forgot exactly what their name is.
Well, I think they are a combination of the Catholics and ISIS.
A combination of Catholic and ISIS?
Yeah, see how ISIS is going crazy, like military-wise, in the real world.
Okay.
And then you have the Catholic aspect, because the Catholic monks, like, they wear the same kind of dress code, and you know, they cut their hair and they do all kinds of craziness. I see a lot of similarities between the two. What do you think?
That's how I see when I see them, as far as like they can't. But see, if when I saw the episode when the religious people start coming in, you know, I'm the type of person, I start thinking of what's going to happen. But then I started thinking, like, okay, what's going to happen? These religious people are going to get power, and I can kind of see it. And spoiler alert, if you didn't see it last episode, but I knew that Cersei was finally going to get hers, and I could see how the main dude, the preacher dude, the main leader of the fanatics and everything, I can see how he sees, like, okay, these people want to use me. Well, I'm going to take control of all of what's going on. You know, like, basically, I'm going to have the power. Because when the other queen, what they call the Rose Thorn or Thorn Rose or something like that, was talking to him, was like, do you enjoy being a tool of Cersei and doing all her dirty work and everything? And that just made him think, like, you know what? I'm just going to control the whole thing. Everybody's wicked.
So you think that he's going to be in play for the throne himself?
I'm sure he's going to. I feel as though he's not going to say, like, oh, I'm the king and everything. He's going to make it like it's divine
is divinely sold, that I, and this kingdom is going to be ruled through spirituality and not just war, and or not war, but the, you know, he's going to, you know how like the Egyptians and everything, he's probably going to get greedy and be like, feel like I'm God, you know?
Okay. Well, I see a lot of similarities again with the fact that when he basically got Cersei arrested, he used this holy book, which would be the equivalent of the Bible, to as the reasoning to get her arrested. They, in their society, they don't like homosexuality, just like mm-hmm. the Bible. I just wonder if you are a believer and you're watching this, if you don't see that they're talking about you in a way.
Exactly.
You know?
When I watch the show, you know, and to me it feels as though basically the writers and whatever, like, they're like, we're gonna create an alternate world, alternate universe, but it has so many similarities to the real world, you know? And that's basically, it seems like they're just rewriting a better story, those ancient times or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly, because the author states that a lot of the characters are built, are fashioned after real life rulers in history. So my question to you is, who do you think, or what religion do you think, if you will, is the Melisandre character supposed to represent, the Lord of Light? Who is that supposed to be?
You said the Lord of Light?
Yeah.
Repeat that again, because the kids were messing with me.
The Lord of Light is the god that Melisandre, which is the lady that's helping Stannis Baratheon.
Okay.
So, who do you think, what religion do you think they're supposed to be kind of modeled after in real life?
Okay, that religion, I want to say, of course it has to do with, I want to say, voodoo, sorcery, and witchcraft.
And why is that?
You know, because it's like he had to make a blood sacrifice, you know, to this demon. Like, it has to be a word of royal blood to die in order for him to conquer. It's almost like he's, like, you know how, like, in South Korea, they cut the blood, the neck of a chicken, and use that blood. It's like a sacrifice, you know. It's almost like I said, like voodoo or sorcery or witchcraft.
Okay, and I can understand how you made that connection. I think it's probably some of that, and also it's an interplay with the Christian Satan character. Because the word light is used as a metaphor, and Lucifer is supposed to be the light bringer, and he's supposed to show you stuff. So in order for Stannis to see the future, he has to stare into the light, you know. And they're always talking about that the night is dark and full of terrors, and so the Christians have made their Satan to be something of something to be scared of. So I think that's where the term or the saying "the night is dark and full of terrors" comes from. Now there's other religions involved in the show, but were you going to say something?
The reason I say the sorcerer, because you remember I want to say last season when he made a blood sacrifice, and then the spear came into the ones, I can't remember the son's name, but it was one of the Stark sons, and he went inside, and you remember the lady, the blonde hair, short lady, she was like a knight, she was there to protect him,
right.
And when the ghost, the black fog came in there, like a beast or something, an animal, not a beast, but like a spear or something, and it stabbed him. Then it vanished and went away. And that was after he killed a royal family or somebody of royal blood then. So then she did her thing, and the baby, like it was like a baby or something. and it came out, and he did that dude. So that's why I say it's more like a sorcery, witchcraft type thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think your assessment is on point. And that's what makes the show so genius, again, is because it's using all these elements that we are familiar with so that we can have an idea of what's going on. And what I like furthermore is I like how there's competing interests even in the religious world, you know.
Yes.
You have the seven, which is the primary religion, and then you have the Lord of Light, which is working through or for Stannis Baratheon with the lady.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the Drowned Gods. I don't know if you know about them.
Which one?
They're called the Drowned Gods. They're from the Iron Island, which is the people of Theon Greyjoy.
Oh, yeah. That's a sick dude right there. I can't wait for him to get here.
So Theon.
No. Not Theon Greyjoy, because that's Reek now. I'm talking about the one who married the Stark's daughter and was raping her.
Right. That's
I told you the characters. I try to keep their names. But him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
He loved doing those hunts and shit.
Yeah, he's a very interesting character, but I think again, since we deal with the secular things and atheism, I think that Littlefinger is an atheist. I think that Lord Varys.
Yes. Him.
And so
hello.
What gives you the impression that Lord Varys and Littlefinger are atheists?
Littlefinger, he's been around the world. He's seen so many different things, and just like when the guy asked him, he said, do you believe in or whatever? Do you believe in always go to church? And he was like, no. And the dude was like, you're a cynic, just like me, you know? Like, and then he said, then the dude told his story of what he saw, the dragons and everything like that. That furthermore, like, let me know that he was like, whatever. He didn't even, like, really keep questioning on it until he saw the dragons himself. But before then, he didn't really, you know, think of it. He was like, oh, those dragon stories or whatever, they died millions of years ago, a long time ago, thousands of years ago. So he didn't see it, so he doesn't really believe that it's there, you know?
Exactly. And if I were to push it one more level, I think Tyrion probably is an atheist as well.
Tyrion. The short guy,
the short one.
Tyrion.
The midget.
That's what I was talking about. Littlefinger is... Which one is Littlefinger? That's Reek now, ain't it?
No. Littlefinger is the one that owned the whorehouse.
That's right. That's the one who's That's the one who's doing all the hunting or something like that. I can't remember exactly who he is. I have to see faces.
Okay, so let me help you out. So Tyrion is the midget.
Tyrion is the midget.
Okay, Littlefinger, which is also he's also Lord Baelish. He's the one that was in love with Sansa's mother.
Okay. Now I remember.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What'd you say?
And so that's Littlefinger, also Lord Baelish, and then Lord Varys is the eunuch that had his penis and balls cut off, and he's bald headed.
Yeah, like him. I like him because he but you don't really know sometimes who he's working for until you see him help Tyrion. And so you've seen him help Tyrion, and you really still don't know what his objective is. But I think his is just to survive as long as possible. But then there's one part when he was saying something about being, I guess, head of the crown or whatever, but I don't think it's that per se like he wants to be the leader. He wants to be the man behind the man.
Right. Because being the man will cost you your life.
Exactly. And when you're the man, everybody's your target now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely like him. What's her name? Queen, the dragon queen. I can't remember her name.
Daenerys.
Yes, I love her. I love her. I love her character. I love everything about her. You know, but I just don't understand why she planned on marrying the one guy. That was just to me. As far as if I was her, I felt like she should have just slaughtered all of them and just left nothing but the slaves to be left. Kill the masters, all of them.
Well, she did. She doesn't want to be a cruel ruler.
Mm-hmm. But I like the way she's turning. She's learning along the way, you know.
Yeah, she's going to have to be cruel sometimes. And,
the dragons, she can't really control them. Like, I thought she would have more power over them. But no, those dragons got their own mind.
Yeah, it's getting out of control for her, and it's just going to be a challenge for her to keep her morals. And the show is so interesting that I recommend anybody to check it out at least one time, and I think they'll be hooked. I think the system is going to kick us off really soon, so let's get in our last words and tell everybody what we will have in store for them next week.
Okay.
Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, next week, we could definitely talk about more about Ron Paul and his politics and Rand Paul. Because, like I said, I actually want people to get a different view of different people. Because Hillary Clinton, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of like almost 60-40, and 60 is against her right now. I don't know why. But she doesn't really seem like a person I want to vote for right now.
Okay, so
it seems like it's about time for a female to become president, but for some reason I just don't like her right now.
Okay, so next week we'll continue with the theme of politics. We'll probably discuss a little bit of what happened on tonight's episode of Game of Thrones, and hopefully we'll get another person to call in. So with that said, this has been an awesome show. We got a caller, and we'll talk to each other next week.
Okay. Oh, also, one thing. Could you send me a thing, the channel she was talking about?
Send you what? Okay. Okay, yeah. So I'll send you some information on the Atheist channel.
Okay.
All right.
All right, man. Thanks again for a good show.
Excellent. So I'll see you next week.
No problem. Hey, and I do want to talk about Game of Thrones, too, next week, too.
Definitely.
All right, no problem. Everybody have a good week.
Son bodeg yel ou pa pote kanson pou betwel moun di son macho yon bodeg san avec fòm ou pa nan trop sentiment nan relation se ou komante ou kase bize ou met yo nanje men yon second.